is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Welcome into The Jump Around 3.0 on ESPN Madison's YouTube. I am Jim Rutledge alongside Pablo Iglesias. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. You can listen back, Wisconsin, the man, Apple, Spotify, any of those great places. Pablo decked out properly.
Ready to go. Pretty sick-looking
Badger hockey jersey there. Obviously, lots to congratulate there with Badger women's hockey, but I do not want to bury the lead. We have a guest today. It is Casey O'Brien. She'll be joining the show a little bit later. Pablo caught up with her yesterday, so we're excited to hear that a little bit later in the show. Obviously, one of the great players on the Badgers women's hockey team. They won their 8th national championship, Pablo. They've won 4 of their last 6 national titles. And Kirsten Sims, obviously, at this point, there might be a statue for her. I think 2 years ago, she scored the only goal in the national championship victory for the Badgers. This time around, she scores the game-tying goal on a penalty shot and then the game-winning goal on a rebound. And the moment that will be written into the stars is one of those is-this-real-life moments is when Mark Johnson called out to the team who wants it. And I guess after the fact, Sims was saying that the rest of her teammates were saying, it's yours, Sims, it's your Sims. So she raises her hand. That's a self-selector. Like, that is a smart move by Coach Johnson, that the person raising their hand there is the person who's going to have the most confidence to take that shot. But wow, the season on the line after the penalty from Ohio State covering up the puck in the crease, and Sims comes through and then comes through in overtime, and Badgers women's hockey continues to prove that at this point, and I think Badger fans can be proud of this, Wisconsin is not a football school. It is not a basketball school. It is a women's athletic school.
I love it, man.
Hockey and volleyball. We'll get to women's basketball. I don't know if the hire, we'll touch on that in a second here, will move the needle. Hopefully it will, but congratulations to the Badger women's hockey team.
And even going beyond that, too, with the championship game, I was just glued to, you know, I was listening to a little bit of the radio, and then I jumped onto the ESPN broadcast when I got home. I was driving back and forth. And the stage that was set before the Kirsten Sims penalty shot, like, is just like another thing out of a movie. You set it up, you're down one, 2 minutes to go, you're on a power play, you have an opportunity here, and then all of a sudden, as soon as I walk into my apartment, I turn on my television, then they're talking at the bench, and all of a sudden I'm hearing that the Badgers have this option to either go for the penalty shot or have a 6-on-4 with 20 seconds left. So if you're a big hockey nut to an extent, I'm kind of a hockey nut, but those are the moments you can't picture it any better to go for the national championship game. And I'm thinking to myself, you have to opt for the penalty shot. Yeah. And then who is it to? And to go back to talk about Kirsten Sims too, Jim, I've gotten to cover her since she was right around the time that she came to the Badger campus. Actually, she, Layla Edwards, and I believe another Badger, might have been KK Harvey, they were part of a U18 Team USA team that actually played for a world title here in Madison.
Yeah.
So they actually got the taste of playing for a championship in Madison before they even got to become Badgers. They got to acclimate themselves with the ice, but the reason why I bring that up is Kirsten Sims from that day and even just to this moment has had the exact same poise. This is even before she was a freshman. She just knew how to handle business. She's never afraid of the moment. And the fact that she has, and her and everybody in this class that she's also in, that they have not had a season where they don't know what it's like to not play for a national championship or their last game of the season be the final game of the entire hockey season, that's incredible for this class, again, to be in all 3 championship games and to come out so far with 2 wins in those 3 tries.
Moving on to Badger women's basketball, they made a hire here, and we know wouldn't normally lead the show this high up with it, but look, it's worth talking about it. We'll get to Badger men's basketball in a minute, but they have hired Robin Pinchton, and she has spent the last 15 seasons as the head coach at Missouri, and she's the 9th coach in UW program history. She takes over for Marissa Mosley, who resigned earlier this month. Pinchton has 250-218 record at Missouri. She's made 10 postseason tournaments, including 4 NCAA appearances. Coached at Illinois State and St. Ambrosius as well. 30-year head coach. Obviously, 585 total wins, 20 postseason appearances. A lot to go there. But what caught my attention is Jim Polzine tweeted out that he was shocked by this hire. I hope I have it exactly right there. And then I did see some other people asked to have this explained to them in like football terms. And the term, here's what he said. So former Missouri coach Robin Pinchton is the new women's basketball coach. I'm ... stunned. Column coming. I don't think that was a positive one, because I did see, I believe it was Evan Flood who tweeted out, he wanted to know, explain this to me in football terms, NFL terms, and fans replied with hiring Adam Gase after the Jets years, hiring Mike McCarthy without the championship on his resume. Todd Bowles is probably the best comparison. And I don't know what was available to women's basketball as far as a coach, but was it Tamika Moore? Is that one of the players
who, I believe so, yes,
who was like a former player who seemed interested? And for me, women's basketball has never really reached the levels where you have to maintain a sort of standard. So I
Tamara Moore.
So thank you. Yep. Yeah. And then, so I would have taken a flyer on that. And then a UW Green Bay's coach, they were in the tournament. That seems like a layup as well. You'd think, I believe she's an alum of UW Green Bay, but still, that the draw of Madison would bring you in a younger coach. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know if this is a great hire or bad hire or whatever. But when I do see people who are around the program more and follow the program more than I do worry about it, it does set off some alarm bells for me. But I guess the last thing here, we can't say in Mac we trust on this, because Greg Gard wasn't his hire. Mark Johnson wasn't his hire. Kelly Sheffield wasn't his hire. So like the coach is doing the best recently, and we'll get to Gard, aren't Mac guys. And so when you look at football and basketball, is this his second hire then, or are we missing someone in there?
There are, I believe, three, because
it was the wrestling coach.
His first hire, I think, was Neil Jones, the men's soccer coach. Okay. If we want to go that
okay
deep.
There you go. Yeah. So, but
who's been progressing? But yes. Yeah. He, and then I believe Fickell was the second.
What about men's hockey? Did he replace?
Oh, yeah. Yes. So he was. So Mike Hastings, Neil Jones, Luke Fickell, and Marissa Mosley for sure. For Fickell or for McIntosh.
He's not covering himself in glory, but you know, each time is an opportunity to step forward. Obviously, we're rooting for the new coach, but it is an interesting hire.
And we've talked about this more from football and Luke Fickell, is that it feels like that just from the vibe that we were getting. I know that it's a social post, so maybe we do need to take it with a grain of salt. But Tamara Moore, it felt like that she was like wanting to leave an NBA scouting job to come and come and take over for this too. So maybe we'll know, maybe we won't know if
maybe
she was
brought on as a lead assistant. I don't know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I know we're just judging solely off the resume of wins and losses, and we're trying to figure out exactly what the heck was happening behind this hire. And like you said, you know, we want the women's basketball program. We want every program to do well here. But yeah, when you, just looking at the numbers right here, I'm not overly sold. I'm trying to see what is Mac seeing that we're not seeing. Who knows? But yeah, I believe too, from what I'm seeing, is that Pinchin stepped down this season too. Yep. So maybe she's looking for something new. You know, you're looking for that new challenge. You want to see what the Big Ten looks like in this changing atmosphere. Maybe Mac saw that. Because let's look at this too, like from basketball standpoint, and obviously we saw with the Juju Watkins news. Hopefully, we're making sure that her health
USC
is good.
USC star player went down with a knee injury. I believe she had more points in her first 2 years than Caitlin Clark did. Yeah. So I mean, an ascending star in women's basketball.
Yeah. So the reason why I bring her up is just because it's USC and UCLA and how the Big Ten is expanding. It's same situation from going back to the Luke Fickell hire too. Was that Mac wanted to bring in somebody who was going to be a generational change in the program because of how, you know, the Big Ten itself is just going through these massive changes. So again, I can't, all I'm doing is just basically judging off the wins and losses. So yeah, I'll give the benefit of the doubt right now, but I am wondering exactly what does Mac see that we're not seeing right now.
Yeah, and hopefully he does see something. That, again, I'm not going to sit here and bury it. I just, those who are around the program have a little bit of a raised eyebrow, so I thought it was worth addressing. This is the jump around. We're now going to move to Badger basketball. And I want to talk big picture with them, but let's start with the micro before we get to the macro. They lost again, this time around, BYU in the round of 32. And BYU is a program that might surprise people to learn that they spend more money, I would believe, on their coaching staff and on their actual players than Wisconsin does. and BYU runs a pro-style offense with a lottery pick on their team. So there's no shame specifically losing to BYU. There's a cumulative effect of, I think we're pushing, next year will be 9 years, or the ninth year since he's made it, Greg Gard, to the Sweet 16. And that is something that, you know, I've talked about as a Bears fan. Winning that game against the Packers, no matter how meaningless or whatever it was, it took away all those counting stats of like, oh, it's been this long since they beat the Packers, this long since they've won at Lambeau Field, this long since they've done this, blah, 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 blah. Same thing with Greg Gard here. Like, this long since the Sweet 16, and then this long since the Elite Eight for the program, and this long since the final. So all those things continue to pile up. But you also have to take into account that Greg Gard is a guy who puts this program in a position. It's not quite what it was under Bo Ryan. There could be mitigating factors with that, with the NIL and other things. But he sets this team up, for the most part, to be competitive every year. And I think as Badger fans, that's what we need to kind of hold on to. So as the season, it's a weird one to define, Pablo, and I'll kick it to you to define it, because it started with low expectations. They were picked at the bottom. Then they exceed those expectations. Then expectations are raised, and in the end, they didn't reach their new expectations. Mm-hmm. So weirdly, they exceeded preseason expectations, but they failed in March to reach the expectations set during the regular season. And it was one more game, three more points, but the always not doing it. This is why sometimes you just got to luck your by hook or by crook, just get one of these things because it piles up. So we asked on Jim Matt Molly to give Greg Gard a grade for his tenure. We refused to go below a C. Jim Matt Molly's show I host on ESPN Madison 4-6 with Matt Hamilton and Molly Brown, because below a C is just, you're insane. Like, Greg Gard, mm-hmm. at a bare minimum. Now, I'm happy to see that basically A and C were the outliers. I think A was around 18%, C was around 18%, and everyone else voted B. I'd give it a B as well. Is there an imaginary world where Wisconsin can be 15% better and he gets an A? Sure, but that does not mean at all that I want to see anyone but Greg Gard coaching this team. I think he knows how to win at Wisconsin. I made this comp that to Creighton, which is not technically a mid-major, but at the same time, it's a program that is not in the...
They were at one point. I think they elevated more so that...
Well, the conference realignment, it's more that, of like... I would consider them a mid-major, but conference realignment has removed them from a mid-major because of the Big East. But the Big East isn't what it used to be either. So, like, the Big East is full of a lot of programs that are like, I don't know. I guess the Big East ain't what it used to be. We all can agree on that.
Wasn't the Big East also to not dive too much into this. Yeah. Weren't they supposed to be like the Catholic Seven or something like that, too?
Yeah, I think initially. But like the Big East
when
had
they were
like,
realigning.
I mean, it had, is St. John's still in the Big East? I don't even know, but I know
they won the Big East.
Year. Okay. But then you had Syracuse.
Too.
Syracuse was in it. Mm-hmm. There were a couple other schools on the East Coast that were in it that have kicked over to the ACC. So regardless, I looked at Creighton because Creighton's had McDermott as their coach for a long time. And sometimes they make a run, sometimes they don't. Greg Gard. Like McDermott, steady coach, will always turn out a team you can be proud of. I can't remember, maybe Creighton, I've not followed that much, had some duds of a year. But for the most part, even the years the Badgers missed the tournament, it's been like one dud year for Wisconsin. Other ones, they've maybe been in the mix to make the tournament the 2 years they've missed it. So on the whole, I'd give this season and Greg Gard a B. And for his full tenure and this season, a B. Because they clearly were better than what... Like, when your media is looking at you ahead of time, like, there's only so much you can put into that. Like, so great. The media undersold you. It didn't mean you had bad players and all of a sudden they got good. It just means the media just didn't grasp what Tanjay was going to be with this program. But it does speak to Greg Gard building this program in a year. But when you build it up, you gotta get a little bit further.
I think there is some stock that we do have to take into the media poll, too, because I was looking at this. Of course, we know this season they were predicted to finish 12th in the Big Ten, not even make the tournament. Greg Gard had addressed that, too, in his post-game press conference after. It was a disappointing loss, but there was something in, you know, Riley and I were together, too, when we were watching the game, that we talked about this. It was another disappointing effort that we wish they could have made it to the second weekend, but... We would have rather been in this situation where it came down to the last shot. It came down to the situation where it is, you have the ball in your best player's hands. Was it a great shot? Unfortunately not. We saw exactly what happened. They tried to get contact. They tried to draw the foul, but Greg Gard ultimately trusted that John Tanjay knew what to go with. But looking at it, again, this year, they were predicted to be 12th. They ended up exceeding those expectations. And when I look at this too, the Johnny Davis season, the media poll had them at 10th. They did not expect anything from them that season. And then Johnny Davis took that massive ascension to be a lottery pick. Chucky Hepburn was a great true freshman in that point guard role, and they ended up winning the Big Ten tournament, or at least a share, I think, with Purdue in the regular season title. So it does feel like that they that Greg Gard is exceeding the expectations.
And this is the part that's tricky,
yes,
is because he didn't take a team that was horrible and make them great. It took a team that was underestimated. And so it could be the media needs to put a mirror on themselves and maybe give him the benefit of the doubt going forward. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, we're talking about perception over reality here.
Kansas was the preseason number one,
yes,
and they've potentially had the worst two-year stretch
yes,
that Bill Self has had.
I'm not taking away what Gard did, but I think we do have to understand it. Like, this isn't like Madden where you were given players with low ratings and then you coach them up. Like, he had talented players. Like, what he did a great job was having all those players block out the noise, and the credit he deserves is not so much of, like, fans, the feeling of expectations being low to getting to where they're at and then kind of leveling out, that part is real, and like that's how your vibes can feel. But from the coaching aspect of it, it's more of Greg Gard, Kirk Penny, Joe Krabanoff had a vision for this team. They had a vision for this offense and a vision for recruiting, and they followed that vision and they didn't care what anyone else thought. And that's the credit they deserve, is that they built the roster. The expectations part of it is fun storyline, but again, they didn't acquire crappy players and then make them good. No, they acquired players they thought were going to be good, and they proved everyone wrong. But that doesn't mean that, do you know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean the team was terrible.
I do get what you're saying. I think it does, you do have to give them a pat on the back for the roster foundation,
yes,
too, because I was thinking, what I mean.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And I think it, I would have been baffled if you would have said, because let's look at this, at where we were at last year when the transfer portal had opened, then Chucky Hepburn, you lose Chucky Hepburn, you lose A.J. Storr, and you lose Connor Asijan. Those at the time, and
yeah,
you know, they're all good players, and you know, Storr and Asijan kind of fell off a little bit,
yep,
but if in that moment where you would have been like a team that did not have these three guys who were big recruits, who were big names coming into going into that season, that Wisconsin would have done significantly better. I feel like that this team was significantly better. And it's without three of those guys on that roster. I would have been shocked. So I do get what you're saying. I do feel like that this not just Gard, but also his coaching staff were good about developing a good roster. And if anything, you know, for me, actually, I know that there's always the fire guard thing because yep, they didn't make it to the second weekend. If anything, I feel like this actually saves his job because it shows that he's able to adapt. And
yeah,
I'm not saying it's perfect. We're still trying to understand the transfer portal NIL era, but they're finding something. They're finding something. Maybe it's older guys that are in the transfer portal that have some that, you know, that have that leadership experience, that have that you know, I'm trying to think of the word. It's not coming into my head, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that,
but the word, I guess, for the actual team is I am nowhere near the fire guard camp. My whole thought was, if this year they had missed the tournament, then we could be having that conversation. That's not the scenario we're in. So what Greg Gard did should be lauded. He should get an, you know, extra year of leash here as far as the coach. And for what it's worth, again, it's funny how nobody cares about the media stuff until you can use it for your narrative. Like, nobody believed in us, but if you pick us high, like, that's just the media, you know. So there's good job marketing and spinning it, but again, you didn't acquire a crappy team. What he did was, to your point, built a great roster and was able to use the big bad media as a team probably to help be like, hey, nobody believes in us, let's just prove them all wrong, which is great. But I also think for that side of things, the media polls, and I don't vote in it, probably just needs to give Greg Gard the benefit of the doubt. Like, that's what should be coming out of this, of like, hey, I think they're the 12th best team in the Big Ten. I'm going to give them four spots just based on Greg Gard. I'll call them the 8th best team in the Big Ten. Well, they finished 5th. So like, that wouldn't have been as bad.
Right.
So that's where I think, for the perception of this program, regular fans, so the fire guard crowd just needs to be quiet, but then also outside national media, you just got to give the team a little bit of a Greg Gard coaching staff bump, no matter what the roster looks like, at least for the next year or two.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where they're going to go this offseason, because, of course, it would have been fun to have more years at John Tonje, and I think what he gave us was fun. And to the other point, too, it's like, Riley, I want to know what your thoughts are, too, is that we all talked about this. Do you feel like that, you know, the other guard teams, let's think about the last few years, too. Are the other Greg Gard Wisconsin teams, do they hang in that game with BYU Like, I don't think so.
No, I don't think they do either.
I'm sorry. What years are we going here?
But let's just say, like within the last few seasons.
Okay, so I was going to say, like, the Bronson K team, like, that team beats BYU. Yeah, like, so I just want to, like,
I think last year, though, the AJ Store team.
Yes,
that one that folds to James Madison. And I think that was the biggest positive for me from the BYU game is that they had every right to just give up at so many points. And they didn't. And they climbed all the way back. And I think... obviously, Tanjay, but also Carter Gilmore made huge plays down the stretch. Fifth-year senior, last crack. And I think that was one of the biggest, I guess, green flags from this year's team. And one of the biggest improvements that Greg Gard made as a coach was increasing the toughness. I don't know how he did it, what exactly went into this season, what made this team different. But they were way more mentally tough, which gave them a chance down the stretch. And a couple more breaks go their way against BYU. They could have easily won that game.
And I agree with all of that. A healthy Johnny Davis, that team may have done it.
Also true.
That team was probably, I would consider that team probably right on par. And they won one game, lost the second one. And so that team or this one, right, one of those two teams. But to your point, this team is older and maybe tougher. I think, Riley, to your question, so we can do some green flags here. The toughness side of it, I think, came from recruiting. I think that's only going to get better. I think... this team has an opportunity to unfortunately we're not going to see the Crawl, Carter Gilmore, Klesmet, McGee sort of class again, most likely. That many seniors who were contributing being here for 4 to 5 years, like that's just not going to happen, I don't think. You might hopefully you get three starters that are around for a while, but in today's NIL, like you could lose some players. But Tanjay clearly was tough as a bag of nails. And then you had Blackwell, who's staying. So let's focus on the players who are staying. I love the toughness from Blackwell. I love the potential from Winter. He's young, so I'm hoping he becomes more assertive and a little bit more aggressive and consistently tough. At the same time, at the end of the year, he's playing with a shoulder issue. So I'm not saying he was soft. I just mean that, like, that mental toughness, he's a sophomore. So hopefully it kind of grows a little bit. Janecki, I like his toughness. Who else is coming back that's going to contribute? Amos, like he showed something. He's coming back.
Daniel Freitag, we didn't see him.
So
much
that's
this
one
year.
That we like. That's a wild card here. Mm-hmm. Like if
and not, Cameron Thomas, right? I believe who was
Hunter. I thought
or, Cameron Hunter. Yes,
Cam Hunter. So he might be a player. I don't know what he is. I don't. Cam Hunter is a complete unknown. Freitag is a player who has all the accolades. Hopefully, he stays. Because, I mean, it wouldn't be the first youngster to go to a team and have to sit and be like, you know what, I'm just going to go somewhere else and I know I'll play. Now, he should be in the starting rotation next year, and he should be playing for, I mean, hopefully he earns it, but like him and Blackwell together. And then you work in maybe a transfer player. They need more, unfortunately, the Badgers. They need more frontline help. So this is where the recruiting comes back in. They have to find out players who fit what they're trying to do. So the green flag is Greg Gard recruited tougher players. He recruited the right players to fit the program. He has a mix, hopefully, of Tanjay, the one and done, but he has some other guys who will be here for a year or two, and hopefully they'll add some depth. And so we have to give the green flag to his ability to identify talent on the fly in a kind of a late situation. And then you also have the green flag of, I would say, the program, the coaching staff, and the change that they made to how they're playing. Because you can't compete in money, but the style of play is something that is going to entice more players to want to come.
You know, there's actually a player that comes to mind, or from the past. Like, it's how... what was it? Because Stephen Crowell was coming in and he was going to be the younger guy that Johnny Davis sees. And actually, Riley and Jim, I don't know if you guys remember this name, Chris Vogt, who was at a backup center. So he wasn't brought on. He was a fifth-year transfer. He was a big center. I think he was about 7 foot. He wasn't a guy that was going to be plugged into the starting lineup, but he gave some big minutes. And he was a guy who, again, was a seasoned vet. Again, fifth-year senior, coming from Cincinnati, made the jump from mid-major to the Division I program, or, you know, mid-major to Power 5 at the time. And I think, he was an unexpected X factor because of just, like, the size that he brought, the physicality that he brought. So why not go back and do something similar to that? I'm looking at some guys right now, too, like Owen Freeman is a guy from Iowa. I know that, let's just who else, like, Nick Davidson from Nevada. I'm just reading off from 24/7 Sports. Just some guys that might be of interesting. Again, because it's not like you're trying to bring in a starting center. Maybe you have Nolan Winter as your starting center, but you bring in a guy who's going to give some valuable minutes, who has some a good amount of seasons under their belt to also mentor Nolan, too.
The other player here, but again, he's more of a guard, is Jack Robinson. So yeah. Robinson, and so they need some bigs. My request for bigs, and I know that Greg Gard slash Bo Ryan had a type, I'll take more bigs if we did it under Badger terms, like Keaton Yankeville. But you saw BYU, you saw even Montana. Those 6'9" bigs who can move gave the Badgers fits. So, and again, I think Nolan's going to be a good player. But when you're looking to add other players, I don't necessarily need the height.
Mm-hmm.
The Badgers, I still think, look a little stiff. And I understand you want the bigs to be able to knock down the threes. And so I'm not saying bring in a guy who can't score from the outside. But I think ideally, if you can find some bigs who are a little bit, even if they're 6'8", 6'9", but bouncy and athletic and move along the lines. I think of like a Ryan Evans type back in the day.
I got Ruzowitz. A guy to be a homer real quick.
And I know there's some guys from, was it Iowa, that a couple of the Badgers had been in on recruiting-wise that were some bigs. So we'll get into the portal side of things. But in general, for this team, I want players who have the mental toughness profile, the guys they brought in. And I want some, honestly, bring in six guys between the height of 6'7" and 6'9", and I'll be happy.
I got a guy who, because the portal had just opened today, Big Ten, Rutgers, from Peoria, Illinois, one of my old stomping grounds.
Okay.
Lathan Somerville, 6'10", 275 center from Rutgers. I liked him. I've seen him since he was in high school. So like I said, I have some ties back in Peoria, Illinois, which is where I went to school, worked for there for 2 years as well. Lathan's legit, man. He's a big boy that's got some moves. So if I'm gonna say someone that the Badgers should try to make a move on, maybe it's Lathan Somerville. He's young, and he might be interesting.
So the other part that we need to look at here, as we talk about the state of the Badger program going forward, is that I said this on Jim Matt and Molly, and I don't mean it in a negative way. I think Badger fans will be happier if they set themselves viewing themselves as more of anything past the Sweet 16 is they're a Cinderella team.
Mm-hmm.
That they are, we had some fun with this on the air, they are a mid-major. And I don't mean that in a way that, like, it's nothing against guard, it's nothing against the players. It's just we're trying to pluck a few players from, so that maybe were mildly successful. Meanwhile, Michigan is pulling in Vlad Golden and Danny, Danny Wolf. But
yeah.
Wolf was a big-time recruiting portal guy. Vlad Golden played in the Final Four with FAU. And then you look at, all these other schools are bringing in premier players. And you go, Kansas, it's no guarantee. Kansas whiffed on Dickinson in store, but they're spending money, like they're shopping for new cars. We're looking for some the used value car, which is
cars
fun.
That have some mile, but like, yeah, they're,
which is fine. You still can get a great car, and you can get something that's awesome, and you can customize it whatever you want. Like, I'm not knocking the idea of getting the used car, but we're not shopping on the new car lot for the Ferraris. You know, we're shopping for the good values, and that's a budgetary issue. Which goes back to the Badgers, I think, honestly, could operate. They're more of a budget than a mid-major. If you're viewing a mid-major as like FAU or Colorado State, and you want to get caught up in the actual conferences, those would technically be mid-majors. If I look at like a Creighton or some of these other schools, a Butler, regardless of the conference they're in, their budget's more of a mid-major budget. And that's what you're viewing Wisconsin as. Then I think you look at it that, hey, when we get past the Sweet 16, we should just count our lucky stars that we caught the right season for that. And that's not a knock on guard or anything. It's just because of the ability to recruit, you either have to catch lightning in a bottle or, and I mean with the dollars, not their actual ability to get people interested. You're going to have to catch lightning in a bottle or catch the right matchup or catch both. And I think that you'll be happier as a Badger fan if you say, hey, anything past the Sweet 16, for most years, like I'm not saying there couldn't be years where you just have this roster, you feel like you should have high expectations for. But anything past Sweet 16 is all just a cherry on top. And every year it's like, hey, we make the tournament and win a game and hopefully get Sweet 16, that is an A season. And as long as you make the tournament, it's still going to be a C+, B- season, no matter what. And I think if you have those expectations, then this is no fault of Greg Gard, Kirk Penny, Joe Krabanoff. I just think that the way that college basketball is laid out right now with the NIL and the NIL money for the Badgers program is out there, they're the Milwaukee Brewers. You're not going to be able to compete. Now the Brewers win divisions, but they're not the Cubs They're not the Yankees. Heck, even the Cubs don't spend like the Yankees and the Dodgers do. So I think Wisconsin Badger basketball, their budget restraints, they need to operate like they're the Brewers, which means you have to be smarter, you have to be agile, you have to be constantly be working every angle. And more often than not, you get an enjoyable season. Either you're in the playoff hunt and you make the playoffs, you win the division, Brewers don't go anywhere, but it's a heck of a season, and it doesn't mean they'll never go anywhere, but you kind of have to catch all the breaks if you're a team like the Brewers or Tampa in baseball. Like, they're a small market team. If you wanted to make the comp to baseballs, we got baseball on ESPN Madison coming up on Thursday with the new home of the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers are the comp for the Badgers. But the Brewers are a competitive team. They're just not competitive for a World Series. And I don't think the Badgers are competing for Final Fours regularly anytime soon.
I
don't mean that in a mean way.
Yeah.
It's just the economics of it.
Thinking about that, I feel like if anything, this is most likely the eternal optimist in me, but I feel like that if anything, this showed me a sign of potentially new Badger basketball. I mean, we would want them to be better on defense. We wanted them to make more stops against BYU, but I feel like to an extent that it wasn't just working. It wasn't just Greg Gard and his coaching staff working with what they had. And again, we both agree that roster foundation is there, but it did feel like that they changed the system and they want to do that to adapt to something new. So for me, again, like I said, eternal optimist out here, maybe that's an opportunity now to recruit yourself and shoot it through the roof and be like, hey, we are a new system of Wisconsin basketball where we want to run. We want to run with the big dogs. And because we are a big dog, or like they want to see themselves as a big dog. That's my view of it, because again, it's just like I've never seen this with a Wisconsin team, and we saw the stats left and right that this is the highest offensive efficiency team, something like that stat.
BYU and Jim Fredette put up a lot of points. They weren't winning national titles. So I get what you're saying.
Yes.
If this was pre-NIL, I'm all in. Yeah. 100%. And does this help in the margins get some better players? Absolutely. This is a Greg Gard has saved the program from becoming Iowa, and he has saved his job by making this change in how they play. And Kirk Penning coming in, it still doesn't change their budget. Again, same with the Milwaukee Brewers. The Milwaukee Brewers are a fun organization to play for. Players enjoy playing there. They don't love having to leave, but they're just not going to get paid in the end. And when you go to the Brewers, you know what the deal is. I mean, you hear players talk about it. Josh Hader gets traded. Yeah, that's just the cost of being a Brewer. I think the Milwaukee Brewers, so this is not a negative against the program. This is really just the way college basketball is laid out. I'm not saying they never can do it. And the way that they play, again, you could have that Cinderella run. But the expectations that, at least for me, that I have to let go of was the Bo Ryan expectations. And I don't mean the Final Fours. I mean they never finished below fourth in the Big Ten. They won 30 games multiple times. They went to multiple Sweet 16s, a couple Elite Eights, including the Final Fours. But this team only missed the Sweet 16 one time under Bo Ryan and never missed a tournament. I believe he ended on a 9-year run of getting past getting into the Sweet 16 at least for Badger basketball. Those days are dead and gone. And that's not Greg Gard's fault. That is the fault of the new landscape. That's the NCAA's fault. It's not the players' fault. It's the NCAA's fault. So this new landscape, I'm just adjusting my expectations that every year I'm taking it, because I'm not going to fault Blackwell could leave tomorrow. And I'm not going to fault him for it, nor would Greg Gard. I think it'd be something similar would happen with Chucky, that Chucky, they're offering you $750. I got $300. Go. You know, you're probably not going to play pro. $400,000 difference, $450,000 difference is major. I'm making up those numbers, at least what Wisconsin could offer. But like, that's my
Gard
point.
Was pretty straightforward too. He said, how can I let somebody turn down that type of money?
And so
he was candid with us about it.
And it sounds like the Brewers. So the Brewers are a team that makes the playoffs and can sometimes win the division. So like, they're an enjoyable team. But like, you have to admit, like, it would be mind-blowing, the story of the century, if like a team like the Brewers won the World Series or even went there. And to me, that's the same thing now going forward for Badger basketball. They get to the Final Four, you caught all the breaks and you caught the right transfers. Because we're talking about it before this segment, we probably got three new starters on this team who aren't currently on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right, and we got Nolan and we got for sure Nolan and Josh. Those are the two starters you feel like are absolutely on the roster. It would not blow your mind if they had three new starters. They will definitely have three new rotational players. Three out of their top seven or eight are going to be new.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you have Janicki as a starter.
Maybe.
Potentially.
Like, Freetop could. Yep. But, like, those are maybes. I think, ideally, you want to recruit over them because they're both. I'm guessing Freetop will end up being a redshirt. You got a redshirt freshman and a true, and then a sophomore. You still would prefer to have some other people over them who have playing experience, even if it's in a mid-major.
Do you guys feel like that Greg Gard? So Greg Gard has proven, at least over the years, that Wisconsin could be one of the best teams in the Big Ten. Do you guys see a reality where they are the best team in the Big Ten?
No, I think he's proven he can hang as like the fifth best team in the Big Ten. I think on average you'd break it out over his over the NIL era specifically and his recruiting specifically. So you take out the Sweet 16 team and maybe the year afterwards. His players, you would say he consistently hangs around in that five or six in the Big Ten. I would say the Badgers.
I think there could be a one-off year where they're the best team in the Big Ten. Maybe he could get them up to the top three consistently where you're hanging right behind Michigan State, Maryland. I don't know what the future of UCLA is looking like right now, but you could hang in that upper echelon, but yeah, probably not your
one-off, 2014, again, just like winning the title. Again, like, it's money. It's not Greg Gard's fault. It's just there's not enough money to compete with the Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan,
just,
I forgot
they
about
just
Michigan.
Renewed their coach 1 year in. God forbid Indiana figures it out because they have money coming out of their arena. So
well, that's the third Drake coach that's coming in here too. Because there are now three former Drake coaches in the Big Ten.
Wow.
But like mid-major guys,
right? But they're going to spend. Michigan State spends. Maryland doesn't spend. Their coach might leave. Like I don't know if you heard of that where he was complaining. So like, but any of the schools that spend money, all they have to do is figure out their coach and they're going to leapfrog. So again, I think Badger. My whole point was a positive one. Count your lucky stars you have Greg Gard.
Yes.
Because if he was better, he might be looking somewhere else and say, hey, I want to go somewhere where I don't have to worry about a budget. And so he's a B coach, an A coach for the Badgers, B coach overall. Like, I don't think the Badgers are doing better. If you brought in Nate Oates in here, how long from Alabama, who is from Whitewater, how long is he here for? 3 years at best? Like, he's probably got three times the budget, four, 10 times the budget of Alabama. I don't know what it is. So, like, you're not bringing in someone else better. And Greg Gard is good, and if it wasn't for the NIL, the Badgers, I would bump them up a few spots, to your point. But with the NIL restraints, I just look like they have to operate like a small market baseball team. And Tampa and Milwaukee have proven you can still be competitive year in and year out and try to be in position to catch lightning in the bottle, but most of the time you're not going to do it. You're just going to have a good, respectable season that fans can enjoy.
See, so my question for both of you, and maybe this is a conversation for another show, but why can't the Badgers spend with these big teams? Because the Brewers, it's simple. You can look at the owner. Mark Adanasio, he's cheap. He doesn't want to spend the money. Small market. They don't bring in a ton of money. The University of Wisconsin-Madison brings in a ridiculous amount of money. UW Athletics brings in a ton of money. So where is it going? Why don't they spend it?
Well, I don't think it's easy for the Brewers. Again, the Brewers have the Brewers
a
spend,
summer of fun, yeah, family
the
Brewers, fun.
Yeah, the Badgers provide a winter and fall,
spring.
Yeah, of summer of winter and fall fun. But with with the Brewers, like Antanasio, if they spent 15% more, I think they could compete more. The team is worth over $1 billion more than what Mark Antanasio bought them for, and the team sells out. So I'm not giving him a full free pass. I feel like, especially the years if the Cubs or Cardinals are down, you should be going in. Because I've talked about the Brewers before. This is a whole reciprocal thing.
Yep.
They can't even trade their prospects to go get a player that can help you immediately because they need those cheap prospects to backfill when they don't pay their players on the back end of it. So the Brewers are kind of stuck in this sort of, it's not hell because you're enjoyable, but like they can't ever really break out because they never want to spend the money in the offseason on a free agent and they never want to trade for anyone because, God forbid, they give up any of those prospects who are the lifeblood of the program.
It's even like the Packers, too, a little bit with Goody and how he drafts. If this position...
Yeah.
Yes, I do get what you're saying. If this position doesn't work, then it's like, oh, okay, we got another guy that we draft. This guy's rookie's contract's up, so we got another guy that's coming
and then,
up.
Meanwhile,
maybe
he'll
work out.
They're frustrated as hell right now, but we're all still in the afterglow of a championship. Let's all admit it.
Mm-hmm.
And so... To your question, Riley, I don't know. I don't know where the money goes. I don't know how nothing at these schools make any money. I don't know how Badger basketball doesn't make money. Like maybe they're in the black, but my understanding of it, 90% of programs, it's just the football program that operates in the black. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is in the red. I'm not knocking them. Like women's volleyball, they're full all the time. Women's hockey, they're full. They win. Mm-hmm. Like how they don't operate in the black is beyond me too. I don't understand how that all works. I'm not faulting those programs for it, but I honestly, there's such... I would say like a wall of where is money in college in general. Let's not get into the endowments that all these schools have that they could get have access to. So this like firewall of budgets and money, it's impossible to nail down why Badger basketball doesn't have more money to spend. Because I agree with you, they should. And honestly, you can start making a case that maybe they should spend it for basketball instead of football, but that's not going to happen.
I just feel so fatigued, honestly, with so many layers, man. I just all I want, we can all agree, is that we just want a winning basketball program. We want a winning football. We want to win in everything, but you can't. But I don't know what else to say, man. I'm just honestly, I just feel like I'm tired and just fatigued. I'm like, there's just another level that you have to go over with a hurdle. I think you're kind of, it's just like, and it's one thing after another.
And I've just changed, and I'm just trying to be happier about it. I've changed my expectations. I'm not going to be mad if this is what they do going forward, because this is the constraints that they have to operate in. Mac, I guess, is set in the butt in this scenario. Back is Antanasio, and there's only so much money that can go. So for me, I'm just viewing the Badgers men's basketball team the same way I view the Brewers, which is like, hey, put together a good team. You're going to have to be smarter than everyone else. You're going to have to be more budget conscious than anyone else. You're going to have to be more strategic than anyone else. And you had a good coaching staff, and you can maximize your talent. And hopefully you catch lightning in the bottle with a recruit and or matchups, and you can make a run.
I will say the nice thing is that you have somebody who buys into that. That whether or not that is the mission or that's just our perception of it,
I'm not saying great guards should roll out and be like, well, look, well, the best we can do is Sweet 16. I'm just saying as fans, you're setting your own expectations.
Yeah, and who knows? We talk about this like on multiple shows, too, of just is the Final Four run back-to-back. Is that the blip in Wisconsin basketball? It'll be a forever special moment that we'll always remember.
And through I am squarely in the great guard has a job for basically as long as he wants it, even if he continues to turn. Like, I've just changed my opinion on the program, what I expect out of it, which then changes my perspective on Greg Gard. Bo Ryan coached in a different era, and maybe Bo Ryan's a Hall of Famer, so maybe he's a better overall coach than Greg Gard. I thought Greg Gard could get closer, and maybe he could have, but with the NIL, I think we just have to be thankful that we're getting teams that, especially if they always make the tournament, which they don't always, but they make it way more often than not. They've only missed it twice, so I would say that I'm just adjusting my expectations. I'll be happier.
A virtual banner, though.
Yeah,
in 2020. Do we count that one,
BYU.
Riley?
We beat BYU in the ESPN BPI simulation in 2020.
The Chicago Invitational.
Let's go.
A young Greg Gard.
I don't want to like throw shade on that team. I feel like that team, because isn't that the next year? Didn't they fall apart? Or was it the year before?
Yeah, yep. That was the last Brad Davison team, I believe, 2020. Or did he stick around
for
2021?
No, Brad Davison was...
I thought he was here until like last year.
Right? It feels like that sometimes. How many more years of it? Does Tanjay have
Demetric
a seventh?
Trice, I remember. Aleem. Yeah. Ford was on that team.
Yeah, Aleem Ford is another guy they could use. Demetric Trice, like guys like that, more guys like that.
Yeah, and Demetric throw got some out G one leagues. More name. Yeah. I posted this on Twitter. Jack Campion from University of Southern Indiana, one of my friends from Milton. He has got all the skill. He could be a perfect Kamari McGee replacement. He's on the shorter side, gritty player, point guard, good ball handling.
He's cold. I remember watching him at the Redhawks.
Yeah.
Hey, these are for our micro high school listeners out here. For our Prep Mania listeners, too, on the jump around. If you know Jack Campion, man,
he
might be dangerous. Layton Somerville from Peoria, too. Rutgers center transfer. Look him up. All I'm saying, he might be something.
I have not dug into the portal, so I don't know who
he just committed today.
I'm in on, but
no worries.
I will. We got Steinhoffel's guest coming up here in a second. So Casey O'Brien, you know, joined Pablo Iglesias yesterday, so we're going to get to that. But first, I want to tell you about Steinhoffel's. Like, aside from the read, I just had my new couch put in from Steinhoffel's. An amazing job with the delivery. We're thrilled with the couch and high quality. The delivery team was fantastic. So shout out to Steinhoffel's for a great experience buying our new couch. But they have an opportunity right now to shop the Beautyrest Black Mattress at Steinhoffel's. Beautyrest Black Mattress uses sleep climate technology that transfers heat away from the body and triple standard pocket coil technology to give you the most advanced support system in a mattress. Right now, the new Beautyrest Black is only $42 per month when you use Steinhoffel's 60-month financing. Plus, get up to $300 in Steinhoffel's cash. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Let's get to Casey O'Brien.
Spring is here. Time to refresh your home. During Steinhoffel's Get Ready for Spring sale, you'll find all the latest looks and trends to transform your space. Need design help? Our designers are by your side every step of the way. Plus, if you buy a premium mattress, you'll get free premier delivery on everything. The Get Ready for Spring sale, only at Steinhoffel's and steinhoffels.com. Relax, it's Steinhoffel's.
What's poppin', everyone? Pablo Iglesias here with Casey O'Brien, the National Player of the Year, too, now a national champion as well. Casey, first and foremost, has it settled in yet? Have you felt like that, you know, you guys are national champs once again?
Not fully, I don't think. I mean, the celebration has been so fun, but I think, you know, amongst the locker room, there's definitely still a little bit of like, oh my God, especially with the way that game went. It was crazy, and so we're just taking it all in and trying to enjoy it.
I want to go back to that game too specifically. Hey, I mean, you had a heck of a season too, but we got to talk about that moment. Your teammate Kirsten Sims, she raises her hand at that bench. Tell me, what was going through your mind when you just saw her go ahead and take that step forward and be like, I want to be the one who takes that penalty shot?
Yeah, I mean, coach was saying who wants to take it, and I think probably 20 of us were pointing right at him saying it's got to be you, and she's got the confidence to say that she wants to. It's a pretty big moment, and we all trusted her, and it's cool to see someone have that confidence in themselves. I mean, we see her do that move all the time in practice against Naughty, who's probably the best goalie in the country, so we all trusted her so much, and then to be able to just walk out there and do it and pull it off was insane. It was so cool.
I mean, you've been a part of so many successful teams too, but you mentioned it. You got Naughty, who's the goalie of the year, yourself, who's player of the year too. You got a bunch of All-Americans too. You know, what does that mean to just have, you know, everybody stacked, just talent left and right, you know, to be named, you know, X of the year? And, you know, just tell me again what it means to have this talented group.
Yeah, I think it's probably the coolest thing I've ever been a part of, considering like this is the first team I feel like that I've been on where all four lines, all the deep pairs, you know, each goalie could go out there and we trust them. Like, we're the deepest team that I've ever been on. And, like, just to know that, like, if you're having a bad day, or if the first line or whoever it is having a bad day, that the next line is going to step up, it's a really special thing. And most teams don't have that. So for us to be able to have that, especially going into high-pressure games, like the national championship, is insane. And it's just been so much fun to be a part of.
If you could go back and rewrite the way that y'all won the national championship, would you do it, or would you prefer to have that type of roller coaster ride like yesterday?
No, I like how it went yesterday, especially, you know, with Sims being the hero. That was one of my favorite parts about it. I think, you know, between like me, KK, Layla, Naughty, like we got a lot of hype this year, especially with like the Patty Cavs top three and the National Goalie of the Year nomination. I think Sims could have very well been in that top three for the Patty Cavs. And so for her to just step up in that big moment and get her moment was so special, because she's been so great for us this entire year, last year too. But like this year, I think it's been a little bit underrated. And so for her to finally get her moment and get the hype was so special.
What was that Patty Cavs moment like for you? Just walk us through what that whole day, the process, everything. What was that like?
It was kind of a chill day, just because me.
nothing chiller than winning the National Player of the Year, being up for that, huh?
I'd say leading up to it, just because like me, KK, and Layla were keeping it light. You know, our focus was on the Natty, and so we were going to be happy for whoever won the Patty. You know, we were kind of putting that in the back of our mind, just focusing on the team. And I don't think it fully sunk in until maybe like yesterday night that like won the Patty. You know, it's kind of something you dream of as a little kid, but you know, it kind of seems far off, especially when you enter college, just with how prestigious it is. And so I think it could have gone to any one of us, and you know, any one of us would have been deserving, but it was so special, and I'm just so grateful to be honored.
What does it mean to be a part of this dominant run too? I think it's four championships in the last 8 years. I mean, you've been a part of multiple, well, a bunch of these banners here. You know, what does it mean again to be a part of this run?
Yeah, I mean, I told Coach, like, thank you so much for including me in this insane dynasty that he has going. It's so special. I, like, didn't know too much about Wisconsin when I was being recruited and everything. And as I got older, just, like, learning about how special it is and how good everyone is, like, I knew that this was the place that I wanted to be. I wanted to contribute in any way I can, no matter what that role was. And so, you know, to be on it and to be able to contribute and come out with three national championships is the most special feeling in the world.
If you could use one word to describe what your career, what this, even this season's ride alone, what's that one word you would use and why?
I think unbelievable. You know, coming into Wisconsin, like, I didn't really have any individual goals like set for like Patty records. All I knew is I wanted to win a national championship, and so to come out of this with three is pretty amazing. And you know, the group of girls that I've met along the way, like, they're gonna be my best friends for life. They're my family. The coaching staff has been amazing, and so I'm just so blessed.
If I got to tell the day one version of yourself that stepped onto this campus, that you'd be the Patty Cavs winner, that you'd break the program's all-time scoring record too. I mean, there's so many achievements that you specifically got to achieve as well too. If I told that day one version of yourself who stepped onto campus, who was just becoming a Wisconsin Badger, understanding what that's all about. You think she'd believe me if I said that these are all the records that she'd get to accomplish?
I don't know if she'd believe me. I think like that would definitely be her dreams, but I'm not sure it'd be, you know, that feasible. But I think she would say, all right, got to get to work. Because, ever since I knew I was coming here, I just put my head down and try to grind and be the best teammate I can be.
You know, when you reflect on all the years that you had here at Wisconsin, what do you think is going to be the most memorable?
I mean, each national championship is so special and so different. I think this year holds a special place in my heart, especially being, you know, a veteran on the team. I love these girls so much. And so, you know, leaving here, I'm probably not going to remember a lot of the scores of any of the games or anything like that. But it's going to be the moments with my teammates off the ice. And, I think they're going to be with me for the rest of my life.
As bittersweet as this is, you know, how excited are you for the future? I know it's going to be moving on to the next chapter. Mm-hmm. It's always a bittersweet thing. But, you know, how excited are you for this future for Wisconsin hockey?
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin hockey is the best program in the country, and I think they're going to be for many years to come. So I'm so excited to watch them, see where they go. Hopefully I'll be back here in October for the banner raising, and then just for my future, you know, now with the PWHL, it's so special that we have that as an option. And so, you know, I'll enter the draft and see where that takes me.
One more question for you. You know, your departing advice to this locker room, what did you say, whether it was before the championship game, after that piece of advice that you're giving to this group as you head into the next adventure?
I think just trust all the work that we've put in. You know, we in September, we're doing weight belt skating around here, which we all thought was miserable, but, you know, I think it pays off when we go into those games. We have to be confident because we know we've put in so many hours of work and preparation. And when you've done that, then going into the game, you can trust that every single person on the ice is prepared and ready for that big moment. And so just trust each other. You know, we got mostly the same girls going into next year. And so just keep that trust and keep that bond off the ice, and they're going to find success.
All right, that's Casey O'Brien, national champion and national player of the year. Casey, congratulations on not just an awesome run with the Wisconsin Badgers, but also the national championship. Wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Once again, Casey O'Brien, thank you so much for her time. National champion, 2025 Patty Kazmaier Memorial Award winner. Congratulations to Wisconsin women's hockey. For Jim Rutledge, I'm Pablo Iglesias. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Jump Around 3.0.